Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and verse 19. God is good. He's been good to me this week. And I praise Him and thank Him for His blessings. They just keep on coming. Amen. There's no limit to the grace of God and to God's mercy. Praise God. Well, He made everything, didn't He?
Yes.
He made all the stars and all of the universe or universes. Who knows? And He can help us in our personal dilemmas, in our personal situations. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Praise God. Bit of wisdom there from Solomon. And I want to just talk about the direction of the shadow this morning. The direction of the shadow. Lord, we thank You for those that are here this morning, especially that You're here this morning. Lift us up today. Give us strength, Lord, to do Your will and Your purpose. Give me strength this morning. Let it be blessed of You, and let someone's heart be touched today. I pray in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Amen. You know, it's important that we understand that it's not where we are that's so important, but it is the direction that we are headed. It doesn't really matter where you are, but it does matter where you are headed. And I've seen those over the years. I've seen those who were in the church. And even though they were sitting on church pews and coming to the house of God, they were on their way out. Amen. And at the very same time, there were those that I have seen that are outside the church and headed to the church. Amen. I've seen that. I've seen that many times, unfortunately. Amen. One of them could be in a Sunday night service and the other in a bar room somewhere. But if nothing changes, the two of them are going to cross each other. And one is coming and one is going. So you see this morning, it's not where you're at that's so important, but the direction that you're headed that is so very, very important that we understand. And in living for God and in life in general, we must see that it's the direction that we are going, where we are headed, that is so very, very important. And folks, we really can't afford to become complacent and unmoved by the preaching of the Word of God and the reading of the Word of God and the study of the Word of God. Amen. We must be a people that are always striving to go higher and closer to the Lord and to His Word. Amen. Now, if we think about someone that is awesome in Scripture, we would have to go to the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 through 16, lets us to know how he felt about his walk with God and about his personal relationship with the Lord. And there's a number of Scriptures here, so I pray you'll pay attention. And if you've got your Bibles, Philippians 3, and starting with verse 9, read for us this morning.
And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but that one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing.
Praise God. That gives us an insight into the Apostle Paul's feeling about his walk with God. And I believe that we need to have that same feeling in our walk with God. He understood completely, just by reading those verses there, that it's not where you are that's so important, but the direction that you're going. And the wise man Solomon here gave us this nugget of truth when he talked about light and darkness. And the way of the righteous is as the shining light that gets brighter and brighter as time goes on. In other words, this morning, we all start out, I'm talking about living for God now, we start out in darkness. And let me explain that this morning. On my personal experience, when I first came to the Lord, I thought that I didn't understand anything. Scriptures, I would read the Bible, even before I got the Holy Ghost, I was reading the Bible, and I couldn't understand anything that was being said. And when I received the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden the Word of God began to open up to me, and I could understand, and I could see some of the Scriptures, some of the more simple Scriptures, some of the parables that are very simple. I remember reading one of them, and it was as though the Lord automatically gave me the understanding of that parable. And I got so excited about it. I went to someone, one of the elders in the church, and I asked him, I said, "Is this what this means?" And he said, "Yes, it is." And it thrilled my heart. It really did. It thrilled my heart that God would speak to me and God would give me an understanding of his word. Amen. As a new convert, I felt like when we start out with God, we start out with little understanding. In other words, we start out in darkness. Amen. But as we live for God, it's the direction that we're headed that is so very, very important. Amen. It's the direction that we're headed. And the path of the righteous is as the shining light, amen, that shines more and more unto the perfect day. And I'm just going to try to help us here this morning to ask yourself the personal question, am I reaching, am I gaining ground? And I'm not talking about major, major things. I'm talking about little things. It's not where you're at that's so important, but where you are headed, the direction that you are headed, that's so very important. And so it's like someone who had been in darkness for a long time and saw the light. After a time of study and prayer, the light became brighter and brighter. How many of you this morning has experienced that? Two or three of you. All right. Well, I'm on track this morning. Praise God. What we need is we need to start out like this. Second Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7. Read for us.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, but the exceeding
excellency
of the power may be of God and not of us.
Well, praise the Lord. That's a powerful scripture right there. Powerful two scriptures. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Amen. To give us light. Everybody said light. He came to give us light. And that means that we are in darkness, and then he gives us light. And so let's look at another one here. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. All right. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who have by reason of use had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't particularly care for exercise. Anybody with me on that this morning? I like to sit in my chair, my nice comfortable chair. Praise God. I like to do that. But there is a time, especially in our walk with God, there is a time that we need to exercise both good and evil. We need to exercise the amount of knowledge and wisdom that God has imparted to us already. Amen. I'm not where the Apostle Paul was. I'm not the soul winner that he was. I'm not like other preachers, pastors, and so on and so forth. I'm not like them. I can't measure up to them. And in fact, many times I feel insignificant when I begin to think about their prayer life and their memorization of Scripture. I've never been good at that. That's why I have notes. Amen. Somebody said you need to be able to preach without notes. And I say I can't preach without my notes. I'm not going to be contentious about it, but it helps me. Amen. And so Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3. Have you got that one?
Yes, sir.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permits.
Amen. Therefore, leaving. Everybody said leaving. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That doesn't mean to throw them away. That means to establish them and not go back to them because we don't understand. Once we get some things settled in our heart, it needs to stay settled.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Praise God. When you pour a foundation for a house, you don't want to tear it out every now and then and put a new foundation in there. Once you set the foundation, it's set. Amen. I believe this morning in Acts 2:38. I do. I believe in the scriptures about holiness and righteousness. I believe those things. Amen. But for me, now maybe it's different for you, this morning, and that's okay. You may have questions about baptism, but if you've been in the church for a while, you need to know where some of these scriptures are and be able to articulate them to those that are asking questions. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Need to have some of these things down in your heart. And what are we going to do after we get these things settled? We're going to go on. Amen. We're going to move on. Praise God. I want to move on. I want to get higher. Praise God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17. Read that for us.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Well, praise the Lord. There's a lifestyle that the Word of God commands us to live by. And we need to have these things settled in our hearts. Well, praise God. Don't have to go back and question holiness again. Need to have that in my heart. You know why? Because when someone that is new or someone that doesn't understand the Word of God asks a question, you need to have it settled in your heart. Well, praise God. Need to have it settled in your heart. We're going to move on to perfection. I'm not perfected yet, Paul said, but I am pressing toward the mark. Amen. And so, as far as the shadow is concerned this morning, if I were to, and I can see that right now, there's a shadow that is being cast from myself. And if I turn the lights down lower, the shadow is going to be more profound. But if we start turning on lights, then the shadow, excuse me, the shadow is going to get smaller. And I want to ask you this morning, my message is the direction of the shadow. Which direction is it heading? Is there more light coming into your life today? Or is there more darkness that is coming into your life? It makes a big, big difference, the direction of the shadow. Because some today are retreating into the darkness at the same time declaring that they're going into new light or revelation. But there is no new light or new revelation that we have. We have the Word of God. Thank God for His Word this morning. Amen. The Apostle John said, we are of God. And he said, if you are of God, then you're going to believe what we believe. Praise the Lord. And he said, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We just have to go back to the simplicity of the Word of God. Well, praise God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 17. I've got a number of scriptures here this morning. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Praise God. Well, that lets us to know we're going to stumble every now and then. And that's not to condone sin, but if we do sin, amen, we're not going to go backwards. We're going to continue to go forward. Amen. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. He didn't say if we run in the light. He said if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another. We're not going to get cross with somebody else, at least for too long. Amen. And we're going to get it straightened out and move on with God. Amen. I want to keep on moving with God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17 through 19. Did I miss that one as well?
That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend it with all saints what is the breadth, what is the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen. And so when we're striving that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, that means that we're not full yet. And it goes right along with the Apostle Paul said, I have not attained, but I'm leaving those things in the past. I'm leaving them there. And I'm moving on. And I just need to ask us tonight, excuse me, I need to ask you today, this morning, I need to ask you, which direction are you headed in your life and in your walk with God? It makes a big difference. It's not where you're at that's so important, but it's the direction that you're headed that's so very, very important. Amen. And then the wise man said, the wicked are not so. And when we're born into this world, I like to say it like this, we are born with a measure of light. Amen. God gives us dreams of our future. And we have great ideas and dreams. I remember sitting in a restaurant one time, and I heard a couple of young, probably 21, 22-year-old girls sitting there, and they were talking to each other. And one of them said, in 5 years, I want to be a millionaire. And I just kind of smiled. And they're eating at a restaurant instead of putting that money in the bank to be a millionaire. Amen. That's a high goal, and I guess that's a good goal. I'm not sure about that. But we are born with a great light. Amen. At least we think it is. And then as we begin to walk in this world, we make a decision, and it's a bad decision. And the light diminishes a little bit. And then as we go a little further in life, we make another bad decision. You know, without God, we're going to make bad decisions. Well, praise the Lord. Even though you're in the church, you may make bad decisions. I've made my share of them. Amen. And some of them last for a long time. And as time advances without God, we make decisions that lead us into a darker and darker world. Amen. The shadow gets bigger because there's not as much light as we need, amen, to go forward. And we go from experience to experience, we go down a little bit. It's not a whole lot, but it's a little bit, and the shadow progresses. And then another decision, the shadow progresses. And before you know it, we see that there are those that turn to alcohol, and they turn to drugs, and they turn to all kinds of immorality to get some more light in their life, but it doesn't bring them light. It brings more and more darkness. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I went over to Sunday school this morning, told them that I was preaching and or teaching. I feel like it's teaching here this morning. And I said, I'm probably not going to last very long today. And they said, oh, that's okay. So I've just got a little bit more here. This, I want to give you this thought. I pastored in New Bedford, Massachusetts, when I was young and healthy, and we had outreach. And the outreach consisted of Bible studies, and there was a number of folks in the church that did that. And the way I set it up, I'm sure you've heard this story before, but the way I set it up, and this is back in the day where there were actual phone books, and if you don't know what a phone book is, see Brother Charlie after church, and he'll let you know what a phone book is. And we would set it up. I had this machine, and it had a pre-recorded message on it, and it said something along the lines of, the Bible is the most, the world's bestseller book, but it is the least understood. If you are interested in a home Bible study, please leave us your name and we'll get back with you. And we were flooded with people that wanted to know more about the Bible. And we ended up with 30 Bible studies going on in the church. And there were people that were coming. Amen. They began to come. Once that we got into those Bible studies a ways, they started coming to church. And there was a man in the church. His name was Gilly. I know that's kind of silly, but his name was Gilly. And Gilly would come and worship the Lord. He was involved in drugs and alcohol, and God saved him. Praise the Lord. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And this is before I was there. And he had a plumbing business, a heating and air business. And when they first came to God, Gilly and Joan and their two children, when they first started coming, they didn't have two nickels to rub together. They were poor. They didn't have hardly anything, but they had the Lord. Amen. They had the Lord. And as time progressed, and when I say time, I'm not talking about a few weeks. I'm talking about a few years. Amen. A few years went by, and the business began to be blessed. And they bought a nice car. They got their house fixed up. And an attitude began to come into Gilly's heart. And it was really sad. When I first met him or saw him in a church service, because I would go and preach there regularly before I became the pastor, I would see him and he'd be on his feet. And he had this way of whistling. And when the Spirit of the Lord would begin to move, he would, I think he put his fingers up to his mouth or something, and he would whistle real loud. And it would just energize everybody, and everybody would begin to worship and praise the Lord. And that's Gilly right there. But Gilly was headed in a direction. It wasn't where he was that was so important, but it was the direction that he set himself upon. And because of prosperity, he began to look at the things of the world rather than the things of God. And he was literally heading in a wrong direction. He was heading on his way out. Well, in the very same time period, there was a young girl, and I've told this story as well. There was a young girl, her name was Nancy, and she was 18 years old. And Nancy had thought that the bright lights and the bright lights of the world, you know, the devil, he'll put up a lot of bright lights. and it'll look attractive and all of that. And she headed down that pathway, not knowing anything about God or the Word of God. And Nancy was at home with a Bible on her lap, and she prayed, and she said, "Lord, if you are real, and if this word is real, send somebody to show me what was the truth here." And as soon as she prayed that prayer, her phone rang, and it was a pre-recorded message. And it said, "If you'd like a Bible study, please leave your name," and so on and so forth. And Nancy left her name and got involved in a Bible study. And she had two children. She was unmarried, and I don't know if they were from the same father or not. Really doesn't matter this morning. But she had gotten into cocaine and alcohol at the young age of 18. Her bright light that she started out with was very, very dim, and she didn't have a whole lot of light left. And as time went on, Nancy got in the church, prayed through to the Holy Ghost. We baptized her in Jesus' name, and she started on her journey with the Lord. And as far as I know, the last time I connected with her, as far as I know, she's still living for the Lord and walking with God. I don't know anything about her depth of walk or any of that, but I'm just using this morning as an illustration of what will happen if we're not careful. Well, praise God. And one day, Gilly went on his way out of the church and didn't come back. But as he was going out, Nancy was on her way in. You see, this morning, it's not so much where you are, but it is the direction that you're headed in your life. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Hope you're getting this morning. Isaiah 38, verses 5 through 8. Yes, sir. Isaiah 38, verses 5 through 8. All right, I'll read it then. "Go and say to Hezekiah," this is Hezekiah the king, and he had a physical problem and they said he was going to die. And the Lord spoke to Isaiah, and because Hezekiah was very disturbed by the news. And he said, "Say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sun, the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards, so the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it had gone down." That's amazing, because the sundial worked on shadows, and as the sun it was in a position, they would mark the time, and then as the sun moved, they would mark another time. So it was like having a clock, and we look at the clock, and our life is like a clock, and it goes by so quickly. How many of you know that this morning? No lifted hands on the front row. I didn't expect there to be any. No, you don't understand what I'm saying. Amen. But the day will come when you'll be sitting somewhere and you'll be 70 years old and you'll say, where did all the time go? The things that I thought were so very, very important, they are gone now. And they're not available to me anymore. And there are so many things that I could talk about along that line. But what I want to say this morning, if you give your life to God, God will turn that shadow back. Amen. He'll turn that shadow back, and you can get a brand new start this morning. And that's for those that don't know the Lord and for those that do know the Lord. We've always got to have a fresh new start. That's why Scripture says that His mercy is new every morning. Starting out the day, the mercy of God. We got a brand new start. Amen. And we've got an opportunity to live for God another day. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Well, praise God. That's exciting. You see, God's in the business of advancing light. Light of revelation that goes forward in your life into greater heights and deeper depths. Amen. A walk with God that goes forward and upward towards the light and the final destination called heaven. I want to go to heaven. That's my goal. I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved when my time comes. Amen. And I just want to ask you this morning, what direction is the shadow going in your life? Romans 9 and verse 30, and Romans 9 verse 30 through 33, and this will be my last scripture this morning. Well, he's dropping the ball this morning. I said if it didn't work out, it's his fault. You know why I did that. Romans 9, verse 30, starting with verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, everybody said Gentiles.
Gentiles.
Everybody said, that's me.
That's me.
That's me. That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. All right, so get the picture here. This is where we are or where we were. They didn't seek after righteousness. They didn't have church services that they went to like what we see in our generation today. They don't need God. And yet they attained to righteousness. They attained to righteousness. They found the righteousness of God. But Israel, everybody said Israel.
Israel,
which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Now think about it. The Israelites were in a church service, hearing the word of God, the laws and so forth about righteousness, and they didn't attain to it. But the Gentiles are like the story that I heard on the radio. There's a, I don't know if it's still there, but it's a rodeo place. And you go there and drink and dance to the music, and then they've got another place where you can get on a bull and ride the bull, and it's a rodeo type thing. And they were having their fun, so to speak, And after it was over with, a fight broke out in the parking lot. And there was some 30 people that were arrested and hauled off to jail. That's where the Gentiles are. Wild, amen. A wild Gentile. And probably they were saying, man, we had a good time tonight. Praise God. I worked with some guys one time over on the refinery. And they said, Friday night, we're going to the hockey game. And we've got a plan that when we get into the game and get our seats, we're going to spill some things on the people in front of us, or we're going to throw food at them, and we're going to get a fight started. That was their whole goal, was to start a fight and say, man, didn't we have a good time tonight? But yet they attained unto righteousness. And Paul said, how could this be? Wherefore? Question mark. Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Praise God. Because they didn't maintain their faith in God. Now, I want to tell us here tonight as we're standing. Praise the Lord. I don't know if y'all have prepared something for the altar. You know, some folks say, why do you always go to the altar? You folks really that hard up that you've got to go to the altar every time you come together? Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate a pastor that's going to help us to go to the altar, because it's every day I need God. Every day I need prayer. Amen. The altar, as I've said over the years, is not my enemy, but it's my friend. Praise God. It's a place I need to go because, I get attitudes sometimes. I know you think I'm perfect and, you know, all that, but I just want to pop your bubble this morning. I'm not perfect. And can I say this? You're not perfect either. It doesn't matter if you have lived for God 30 years. It doesn't matter if you got the Holy Ghost today. I've got to have an altar. And it's not a place where I just come and look around and all that, but where I can digest the Word of God, where I can say, God, give me understanding of what I have heard. Amen. I pray many times before the message, whoever's preaching, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me, because I need to go forward. I don't want to stop. I don't want to go backwards. I want to go forward. And I'm not talking about gigantic leaps. People that end up being millionaires, and I'm sure we're talking to several of them here this morning, and you could ask them, how did you become a millionaire? Well, when I had 10 extra dollars, I put it in with the rest of it. I focused on little things. I didn't say, well, I'm going to be a millionaire next week, and then when it doesn't happen, I get discouraged. No, I'm just going to be faithful in the little things, and when I'm faithful in the little things, the big things eventually come on. Praise God. It works that way with anything in life, and especially in your walk with God. Amen. Lord, I thank you this morning for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord. Help me. Lord, I need your help this morning to be better than I was yesterday, to have an understanding of the Word of God and the will of God for my life. I pray for each and every one of us here this morning that you will help us not to be stagnant or to go backwards, but Lord, to go forward in the work of God and in the will of God. For we love you and we want to make it there. I want to spend my eternity with you. Praise God. Praise God. Because in heaven you will be the light. But in hell there will be darkness. I want to leave the darkness behind and move forward into the light. Praise God. Praise God. That's good. Why don't we all just come to the altar this morning? Let's all just come. And I know this hasn't been dynamic preaching this morning, but I want you to know that it's the truth. It's truth. And let's apply our lives to the truth.